It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy. Hello. Welcome, one and all. It is 1902 UTC on a beautiful Tuesday. Oh, excuse me. I rushed to eat a sandwich before I jumped on the, kind of a little burpy today. Today is Tuesday, March 8th, 2022, and it is 1903 UTC. So, welcome. Hello. It is, it is a beautiful day. Blenda, put those hamburgers on high. They must go high. They can't be low. Blenda, I found the video on YouTube of Blenda, and Blenda is a beautiful lady. All right, so let's go ahead here. There's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of news, lots of fun stuff happening, death and destruction, all that. Wanted to mention here, just to give a shout out, thank you everyone in comm for being here and hanging out. If you want to hang out in comm and chat during the show, all you gotta do is SSH over to sdf.org. Go ahead and launch COM, the chat program, C-O-M. And then from there, you'll just go ahead and press G for go to, and then type Anon Radio, all lowercase, all one word, and you'll be in the room. You'll get to hang out with cool folks like Ratsu and X1 and Unimagine, and even F-Fog and Claudio M. So, yeah. And Cam was here this morning. My COM, I left it in input mode when I went to sleep, and so when I joined up just now, I had a large wall of text that was loading up, but such is life. I want to mention that for a few seconds there, the first like 30 seconds or so before I came on the air, that was Cool for a Second from Yumizuma. I really like that band. I've got a lot of their music. That's not the song we'll be playing later, though. Don't worry, we'll get to it. So let's go ahead and get started. Let's talk about the news. And we'll start the way we pretty much always start, and that's
world news.
That's right, the world news. Not looking good. It is International Women's Day, and it is also a day that people like to remind us how bad it is, kind of some sadness that's going on in the world. So let's start. Nigerian Parliament rescinds decision on gender equality bills. The lawmakers' decision on International Women's Day, came hours after simultaneous protests by women in four states. Nigeria's lower house of parliament has rescinded its decision on three bills that it discarded at a constitutional amendment session. The decision, announced by the House of Representatives on Tuesday, was a volte-face on Parliament's March 1st decision to reject the proposed bill. It will now reconsider the bills in a month when it reconvenes for another parliamentary session. One of the amendments was to grant citizenship to foreign-born husbands of Nigerian women. The Nigerian Constitution already confers automatic citizenship on foreign-born wives of Nigerian men. Another would have given a woman the right to become indigenous, I-N-D-I-G-E-N-E-S, I guess independent of their husband's state after 5 years of marriage. I don't know what this word is. Let's see. Search startpage.com for this word. An indigenous person. Okay, indigen. I'm guessing maybe like a natural citizen? I'm not sure. The third provision was to assign 35% of legislative seats to women, as well as reserve 35% of political party leadership for women. The parliamentary decision came hours after women protested across three states and the commercial capital of Lagos on International Women's Day. It was the second such protest within a week. Penniless. Thanks, X1. A slap to the face of Nigerian Tuesday morning protests, the second in a week, came on the heels of the federal parliament's rejection of those bills. The demonstrations were also a call for justice after recent reports of sexual violence and ritual killings targeting women. In Lagos, women had gathered at the government secretariat at Ikija, the city's seat of power, singing loudly and chanting multiple grievances against society and government. Experts and activists have pointed to a lack of women's participation in government as a factor responsible for the downscaling of women's rights, as well as a high rate of gender-based violence and economic inequality in Nigeria. Woman Nefesto, a coalition of pro-gender equality women organizations in Nigeria, sent a petition to the state and federal parliament stressing that women decry this denial and consider it a death knell for everything female and for women's rights. So, this is, indigent. Oh, thanks, X1. That's very helpful. Indigent in French is what the word what meant. And welcome, SMJ. Thanks for tuning in. So, yeah, this was just kind of cool because this is kind of an example of protests that actually worked and didn't result in a bunch of people dying. Half of Nigeria's population is female, but women's representation in politics and governments is still very low. Despite years of lobbying and activism, political spaces for women continue to shrink. Female legislators currently make up 4% of the legislature, a decrease from 5.8% in 2015. So, that's happening there. Not so good, though. Femicide in Germany, a silent epidemic. Germany has one of the highest rates of femicide in Europe. According to statistics from the Federal Criminal Police Office in December of 2021, the pandemic has only made the situation worse. Despite the tireless work of support groups for victims of domestic violence, the number of femicides continues to rise. Activists condemn a failure by police to take women's cases seriously enough, as well as legal shortcomings in German law. And there's a whole video, it's about 20 minutes long, if you'd like to watch it, over there at France 24, that kind of gives a detail of what the report was. But I thought it was worth noting, because it was news to me that femicide in Germany was so high. I thought it would be one of the more, well, I guess, anyway, I have my own biases. I thought it was going to be somewhere else. Oh, man, this is a great picture. I'm going to put it in comm because... come on. We're going to hit this, copy image link, paste it, title, Boda Boda. All right, so this is kind of cool. Kenya's president, Uhuru Kenyatta, on Tuesday ordered a crackdown and census of motorbike taxis across the country after a video of a young woman being assaulted by several of them caused a scandal. In the video, which has gone viral on social media, a young woman is seen screaming at the wheel of an open car as she is assaulted and partially stripped by motorbike taxi drivers after a traffic accident. On Tuesday morning, police announced that they had carried out an operation against motorbike taxis in the capital of Nairobi, resulting in more than 200 arrests. The image that I shared, the image that I posted here in Tacom is at sdf.org/L=Lima/J=Juliet, and then the number 0. So that's sdf.org/L/Juliet0, Lima/Juliet0. And it's just a picture of a man on a motorbike carrying a full, a large size chaise lounge. It's longer than the motorbike, and it's balanced across it on the back. So it's quite impressive. But motorbikes in general are used a lot there. This is a weird photo to use for this article, though. Anyway, about 150 Kenyan women and activists marched in Nairobi on Tuesday morning to denounce the incident. They marched toward police headquarters, holding up signs reading "Listen to our cry," "Listen to my cry," or "Today she is, tomorrow I am," and demanding an end to violence against women. The head of the judiciary, Martha Kume, called it cruel, inhuman, and without any humanity. "I denounce this act as a barbaric and in need of the highest judicial attention." Two-wheelers are popular transport in Kenya, which lack a developed public transport system. According to official data from 2018, at least 1.4 million motorbikes are registered, the majority of which are used as taxis. About 17,000 motorbikes are registered each month, and Government Statistics Office said in 2019, this is what they said in 2019, the sector is poorly regulated, and these figures could be much higher. Yeah, it should be. Hold on. Is that photo not a couch on a motorbike? Let's see if I accidentally put the wrong image in here. Waiting. Nope. Oh, it loaded up for me. Maybe it's got a cookie or something. So let's see what we got going on. All right. So, yeah, it's very, very troubling. Sorry, I went with the image, and I thought I'd put a fun story in here to kind of break up the sadness, but no, it's more heavy shit, so sorry about that. So yeah, it's dangerous in Kenya. But such is life. There's a lot going on in the Ukraine. I've got several stories there lined up for that. But before we talk about the Ukraine, let's just go ahead and play a song. We need to play a song. I got a short one. It's only 2.5 minutes. It's from someone, an artist called Yolola, Yullola, and the song's called "You're So Vague." It's a kind of heavier than I usually play, but I really liked it. Hope you do too.
Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF, and SDF powered by you. So thanks for listening and hanging out and calm or just listening, whether you're driving around or whatever you're doing. Thanks for being here. So, there's a lot going on in the world, like I said. And we also have, lots of Ukraine news. Then after that, I'm all over the place. I'm sorry. I'm planning on taking some days off of work, and so I've got all sorts of stuff jumping around in my head. Please stick around. At 1930 UTC is the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. No matter what happens, Tobe is always broadcasting at 1930 UTC, unless he can't get on the internet, which just makes for a fun show. Welcome to 10. Thanks for dialing in, getting connected. So yeah, listen for the Dubious Goals Committee coming up. After that, we got Internet Sounds with DJ Leon G, I believe. Let's go here. Yep, Internet Noises with DJ Leon G. So that's happening soon. And yeah, I'm just all over the place. Let's talk about, I've got one more femicide story I forgot to get to. Because, like I said, my mind is not organized. Recently, Marta Montero dreamed of her teenage daughter Lucia. It happens from time to time. She felt the soft fabric of the dress that Lucia was wearing, and she felt peace when she woke up to a world in which Lucia is no longer there. Lucia's life was snuffed out 5.5 years ago in one of the most emblematic cases of femicide in Argentina, not just for the violence that was exacted on the 16-year-old, but for the way in which a court judged her. "The first year is just terrible. The first birthday, the first Christmas," said Montero, sitting at a kitchen table. "The absence makes your skin hurt your..." "It's been a devastating and maddening time for her family and their allies since the girl's body was dropped off at a health clinic in her hometown in October 2016 by two men. Matias, age 23, and Juan, age 41. They were accused of drugging, raping, and killing her, and Farias also faced a charge of femicide, but acquitted by a trio of judges who found them only guilty of administering drugs to a minor. The judge also absolved a third man, who is now deceased, of helping them cover up the crime. The ruling was quashed in 2020 by a higher court, and the family is still awaiting a new trial. They also are waiting for a hearing that could strip the original trial judges of their posts for relying on gender stereotypes and prejudices in the ruling. It would be a milestone in the battle waged by women's rights activists to dismantle the patriarchal underpinnings of Argentine society, including in the judiciary. So, anyway. It's really sad and tough. So, I just wanted to mention that femicide is a huge problem all over the world, South America, United States, Europe, just all over the place. There's lots of that underlying hate and misogyny out there. Speaking of hate, Proud Boys leader arrested on U.S. Capitol attack conspiracy charge. Enrique Terrio, the former leader of the Proud Boys far-right nationalist group, has been arrested and charged with conspiracy over the attack on the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. Terrio, age 38, faces counts of conspiracy to obstruct an official proceeding and obstruction of an official proceeding, and two counts each of assaulting, resisting, or impeding certain officers and destruction of government property. The U.S. Department of Justice said Terrio was scheduled to make an initial appearance in federal court in Miami on Tuesday. Terrio was not at the Capitol meeting during the insurrection. 2 days before, he was arrested in Washington and accused of vandalizing a Black Lives Matter banner at a historic black church. Also charged with possessing two high-capacity rifle magazines, he was released the following day in order to stay out of the Capitol. According to the DOJ, Terrio nonetheless continued to direct and encourage the Proud Boys to and during the events of January 6, 2021. He later claimed credit for what happened on social media and in an encrypted chat room during and after the attack. Four other individuals have been charged. Ethan Nordine, 31, of Auburn, Washington. Joseph Biggs, 38, of Ormond Beach, Florida. Zachary Rail, 36, of Philadelphia. Charles Donahoe, 34, of Kernersville, North Carolina. And Dominic Pezzola, of 44, of Rochester, New York. They earlier pleaded not guilty to charges, the DOJ said, referring to an indictment in December. Terrio and the Proud Boys rose to prominence in support of Donald Trump and through violent confrontations with left-wing protesters. More than 770 people have been charged. So, that's what's going on there. What else is happening? Well, is there any other not Russia news? Twitter is down. The app and website apparently having trouble working. Let's see if it's back up, because like a lot of these stories, I catch them early in the day. Let's go to twitter.com. Hey, look at that. It's back online. Okay. So, Twitter's back online. We're not going to worry about it then. Huge invasive spiders native to Asia expected to spread along U.S. East Coast.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Is right. People up and down the entire U.S. East Coast may soon find themselves living with large spider species that is long away from its original home. According to researchers at the University of Georgia, the Joro spider, an invasive species native to East Asia, is expected to spread after thriving in state last year. The spider, Trichonophilia clavata, is known for its ability to spin highly organized wheel-shaped webs. Females have blue, yellow, and red markings and can measure up to 3 inches when fully extended. Researchers found that the Joro has double the metabolism of a relative, the golden silk spider, which moved to the U.S. southeast from the tropics 160 years ago. Unlike the golden silk spider, which has been unable to spread north due to its inability to withstand cold temperatures, the Joro has a 77% higher heart rate and can thus survive freezes that kill off its cousins. According to the new study, Joro spiders, which predominantly hail from Japan, will probably survive on the U.S. East Coast because Japan has a very similar climate and is located at approximately the same latitude. Just by looking at that, it looks like the Joros could probably survive through most of the eastern seaboard, which is pretty sobering, said Andy Davis, a research scientist at the Odum School of Ecology and co-author of the study. Last year, the spiders made their way through the yards of northern Georgia, spinning webs up to 3 meters deep. It's unclear how the spiders traveled from East Asia, but researchers say their proliferation is probably due to changes in weather conditions. According to Davis, the Joro doesn't appear to have much of an impact on local food webs or ecosystems, and may even serve as an additional food source for native predators like birds. People should try to live with them, he said. If they're literally in your way, you can see taking down a web and moving them to the side, but they're just going to be back next year. So, anyway, big spiders, always spooky. So, if you're on the East Coast, just kind of be aware that, that's happening, or that's possible. That's a possibility. So just be on the lookout. All right, we've got about 7 minutes to go, so let's talk about the Ukraine. First, Uniqlo keeps Russian shops open as clothes are a necessity. The owner of Uniqlo has defended its decision to keep its Russian shops open, saying that clothing is a necessity of life. Uniqlo has 49 stores in Russia, and while it will monitor the situation, it has no plans to suspend trading. A number of Western firms, such as Zara and H&M, have halted operations in Russia because of the war with Ukraine. But Fast Retailing's founder, Tadashi Yanai, said Russia's people have the same right to live as we do. Mr. Yanai told Japan's Nikkei newspaper, "There should never be war. Every country should oppose it." But he said, clothing is a necessity of life. The people of Russia have the same right to live as we do. Uniqlo is not alone in its decision to continue its operation in Russia. Many international firms that rely on production plants and customer bases in Russia have chosen to stay in country. Surprise, surprise. Welcome, Ronald. Thanks for tuning in. And next one, that's a good idea. Growing vegetables is a good idea. Food and drink giants McDonald's and Coca-Cola were criticized on social media for failing to speak out on Ukraine's invasion and close their business in the region, which led to McDonald's, I know, closed their restaurants. But I'm trying to find the dang article. Sorry. It's somewhere. But anyway, McDonald's is closing it down. Tobacco giant Philip Morris International was the leading foreign company by revenue in Russia in 2020, and it suspended in operations in Ukraine, but not Russia. Japan Tobacco, which has a 37% share of the Russian market and 4,500 employees in the country, also continues to operate in Russia. Its tax payments in 2020 accounted for 1.4% of the Russian Federation state budget, according to the company's website. Japan Tobacco says it's fully committed to complying with national and international sanctions. British American Tobacco has 2,500 workers and 76 offices in Russia and continues to sell cigarettes there, where it's operated for more than 30 years. Yeah, and they're just a list of more and more all these companies that are still doing business in Russia and with Russia. The Carlsberg Group has decided to immediately stop new investments into Russia, as well as exports from other Carlsberg Group companies like Baltika Breweries in Russia. Carlsberg took control of Baltika, Russia's largest beer brand, in 2008, and will continue to employ around 9,000 staff in the country. So, that's going on in the economic part of it. Just as a summary and recap here, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky gives an unprecedented address to UK MPs in the House of Commons. Speaking by video link, he welcomes sanctions on Russia, but repeats an appeal for a no-fly zone over Ukraine. He references Winston Churchill saying, "We will fight you in the streets, in the fields, on the shores, in the streets." A short while earlier, the UK announced it would phase out Russian oil imports by the end of 2022. U.S. President Joe Biden has also confirmed a complete U.S. ban on Russian oil, gas, and coal imports in a move designed to deal a powerful blow to Putin. The EU has also made moves towards reducing the continent's reliance on Russian gas. The UN says 2 million refugees have now fled Ukraine since Russia invaded. New contracts to purchase Russian crude oil and certain petroleum products and coal will be banned effective immediately. Existing contracts must wind down within 45 days. U.S. companies and investors are banned from seeking investment in Russia's energy sector, and Americans also cannot participate in foreign investments in Russian energy. The official, or a senior Biden administration official, said the U.S. had consulted closely with European allies, but we do not expect them and did not ask them to join us. He added the U.S., unlike much of Europe, was able to take immediate actions because of its significant domestic production capabilities and relatively small quantity of Russian imports. So this is going on right now. What else is happening? So much. There's so many facets to this problem, and we only have a few minutes. Nigeria says it will not allow its nationals to join the fight in Ukraine, where Russian forces are bombing cities. The follows reports of alleged recruitment of volunteers in the country to fight for Ukraine. Nigeria's foreign ministry said the Ukrainian embassy had denied any role in the alleged exercise. Meanwhile, what is it? McDonald's is the latest company to pause its operations. We're banning oil. 2 million people have fled. Come on. Just trying to make sure we get it. Yeah, we talked about we're banning oil. And that's kind of the big news in the war, is that we're banning the oil going forward. And just real quick, the world's first heart thymus transplant was successful. U.S. doctors say a young boy called Easton has made medical history by becoming the first person in the world to receive a combined heart and thymus transplant. The pioneering procedure was done to save his life, but could also revolutionize the field of organ transplantation, they hope. The donated thymus tissue should help stop his body rejecting the new heart. Months on from the surgery, tests reveal Easton is progressing well. The thymus tissue is working, meaning his body is building critical immune cells, which might ultimately reduce or even eliminate the need for him to take lifelong anti-rejection drugs. One of the doctors, Joseph Turk from the Duke University Hospital, said, "We are very excited about it. The concept of tolerance has always been the holy grail in transplantation, and we are now on the doorstep." So that would be really cool. The thymus gland is located in the chest near the heart, and helps development of T cells, which fight foreign substances in the body. It teaches the immune cells what is self and what isn't, and therefore what can be attacked. So they're hoping that this will kind of help bring that all together. All right, well, we're all out of time. Thanks for checking out. I will be doing something for the rest of the week. So the show will probably be a little hit or miss.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Toad.